are here at the top of the Manchester Hyatt in San Diego, California, at the Underground Collision at NACUSO. Yeah, I know. We were just in D.C. a month ago at the GAC, and here we are.
And NACU coming up.
Yeah, exactly. NACU's coming up as well. So, hey, so what are your expectations for the Underground here in San Diego? I know you're going to be a part of it, and we'll talk about that in a little bit.
I think, like any industry, we need to be constantly looking at ourselves, look inside as much as we look outside at competition. And a meeting like the Underground allows us to do that. It gives us a chance to maybe create a little tension, useful tension, productive tension among ourselves and say, hey, why are we doing things this way? Shouldn't we be looking at different ways to do them? If we're going to evolve along with our members, this is the kind of session you want to be part of.
Oh, good point. Yeah, I haven't heard that point before. Because credit unions need to evolve as well with their members because their members are...
CUSOs and credit unions.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Because we're all trying to attain that retail experience that like Amazon and all those guys have. So credit unions got to do the same thing, right?
That's right. And being cooperatives gives us a different opportunity as well. So both the CUSOs and credit unions having that business model is something that is part of our core belief, totally different than the for-profit world. So how we make decisions, when we make decisions, and to what degree do we push those out to our members needs to be discussed among ourselves as much as anything. I think that's part of today's effort here.
And you're going to be part of today's effort here. You're going to be talking about, Vic, you're going to be talking about CUSOs, for-profit versus for-credit union. All right. This is a kind of a controversial one,
sure,
so let's hear it, Victor.
Well, I was here, I was interim president of NACUSO back in the early 2000s when we kind of reestablished our CUSO business model after the change in Glass-Steagall. A lot of CUSOs were at that time credit union CUSOs were either involved in brokerage or insurance. Today, at that point, we really tried to emphasize that as a CUSO, you could do anything you wanted to do. Anything that was outside the normal credit union product and solutions. So I think for profit, what happened is we've created a number of CUSOs today and in the past, and it's a healthy, great environment for us. But I think we started to look a little bit too much like our for-profit competitors and not enough like our cooperative owners that have established it. So that's part of the case. How do CUSOs and credit unions agree on distribution of earnings, on fee structures and things of that sort? Is something that we need to discuss because there's a lot of wealth, net worth that's been created in the CUSO environment over the last 20 years.
Yeah, some very successful CUSOs
that's
out there
right.
For sure. How do we keep that in check, though? How do we keep it in the cooperative check, so to speak?
Well, that's part of the question. How do you? The credit unions own those CUSOs still, so I think credit unions are responsible as owners to take a role in that. And if that's the way that those CUSO owners elect their directors and how their directors are going through the strategic plans with the management of those CUSOs, well, that's democracy. That's how it should work. But I think we need to remember where we're coming from and we have to decide a little bit more towards the path of, as a cooperative, how do we benefit at the very end, the member the best, the individual member that uses the service, accesses it, pays for it, perhaps in some cases.
And it's all about, no matter how successful you are, it's all about kind of giving back to the industry as well. So
keep it
in-house, so to speak.
One of my objectives right now, one of the things I'm going to be talking about today, is how can we as a group of very well-off CUSOs in many cases do something that will help our industry? Because if our industry doesn't stay healthy, if it doesn't prosper, if it continues to shrink, in our case, is what one of the things I'm concerned about, then we necessarily, as CUSOs, won't have anybody to sell our solutions to. Right? So our
point
depends on the industry's health as CUSOs. So the more we can do to help establish de novo credit unions, brand new credit unions, get them off the ground. Some of the very difficult aspects of new startup credit unions is the fact that it's so expensive to do that. You have to start with a whole menu of products and solutions today. How many new credit unions can afford to do that? We also have a regulatory environment somewhat resistant to new credit unions doing, or prohibitive in some cases, in doing those kinds of things. So we need to lend our expertise, our capital, our sharing and our collaborative nature to building new CUSOs. I think we can redo the business model for de novos.
Indeed. And since you were interim president of NACUSO a few years back, let's say.
Uh-huh.
So what's your view on the CUSO environment today? Because they're coming up like
healthy.
It's very
healthy, and that's why we need to continually reevaluate it and take a look at it so it maintains that that type of prosperity and that type of movement, forward movement to becoming a, and playing a greater role in credit union success and the members.
Why do you think it's so healthy as opposed to maybe 10 years ago? I mean, are more people willing to venture out and try something new?
I think today, yes. And I think there's more among the group of innovators, the community of innovators and startups that are out there today. I think they are looking at credit unions as a place to take their solution set. And credit unions themselves and CUSOs are out there searching for those types of innovators as well. So I think that there's a lot of impetus to that, to the credit unions saying, if I want to play in that space, I can't really afford to do it on my own. I'm not big enough, I'm not prominent enough, I'm not geographically diverse enough, but if I work together collaboratively within a CUSO, I can go out and create those types of ventures, work with those innovators, work with those people that have new ideas about how we're going to deliver product in the future.
Yeah, it seems like there's so many opportunities now, especially with technology taking off like it has. I mean, one of the great things that I like about the NACUSO Network Conference is that there's a very entrepreneurial spirit here. It's really, there's an energy, there's a vibe here that's unlike any conference that you go to. And that's what makes it so fun. So, I mean, what's your take on that?
Oh, no, definitely that's true. I think we've managed over the years, especially since the early 2000s, and being able to change the image of NACUSO in ways that are very positive and alert the outside world that, hey, if you've got a new idea, think about credit unions and our cooperative nature and our collaborative business models as a way to present your solution, your idea to the business world and out into the financial services environment.
Pretty cool stuff. Great times we're living in right now.
Yeah.
So, Vic, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate the time.